If you're thinking about gifting a DNA test to a family member this Christmas, our next guest says reconsider. Professor Peter Dearden from the Department of Biochemistry at the University of Otago and Director of Genomics Aotearoa says a growing number of people are choosing home test kits through the likes of Ancestry.com or 123andMe.com without understanding the consequences. He says most people regard DNA kits as entertainment and are unaware that their data could be sold to third parties, including insurance companies, that could then deny coverage. Professor Dearden says New Zealand's legal framework needs to provide clearer guidelines on what is private and what is not. Genomics Aotearoa is hosting a series of free public talks tonight at the Otago Museum entitled Brave New World. The details are on our webpage. Kia ora, Peter.
Good morning.
Genome sequencing is one of the biggest breakthroughs in science. You're certainly not arguing that it's not an important technology in many ways.
No, this is a crucial technology. And the latest sort of updates in the way we do genome sequencing and the cost of it means that it's becoming more and more important. And we've all seen that in the COVID pandemic, where genome sequencing was absolutely crucial in helping us track and trace viruses in New Zealand. But also you can see genomics being used broadly in helping manage conservation species, so species that are threatened. We're also seeing huge breakthroughs in the use of genomics in helping out with human health. So this is a really, really important technology that we need to engage with. But like all new technologies, it has sometimes a bit of a downside. And one of those is, you know, what happens with the data, who owns it, who looks after it, and how do we ensure that DNA sequences are private or at least used in ways that benefit us, the people who have those DNA sequences, rather than international companies or other agencies.
Is there a difference in law at all between what might happen when a public health provider accesses genomic information and a private company for entertainment like the Ancestry ones? Is there fundamentally any difference in the law?
Well, I'm honestly not an expert in the legal aspects around this, but when you're dealing in a clinical situation or you're dealing in a research situation where genome sequence is being gathered, those are controlled by ethics applications, by the usual processes around collecting samples and looking after samples. And so our privacy in those cases is looked after. There are laws that say, actually, you know, if you take a DNA sequence in a clinical situation, there are laws that say what happens to that DNA sequence and who looks after it. And those are the same laws that would be the same for almost any other genetic or any other clinical test that you might take in a health system.
So now that we see these commercial companies springing up, what are some of the consequences that you want to draw people's attention to of gifting a kit or buying one and, you know, perhaps enjoying, as we say, what you learn or think you learn? More on that in a moment. But what are some of the consequences you want to highlight?
Sure. So many of these kits are actually a conduit for a company to use that data to do other things. So, for example, the 23andMe company, you know, it is invested in by major drug companies as a way for them to access anonymized data from individuals. But that's actually where the company seems to be gaining most of its money from. The kits that come out to consumers are there, and I'm not saying, you know, don't engage with them, but be aware that what's happening here is that this company is collecting your DNA sequences and using that information in other places. So it's not just providing you with information, it's also providing your information on to other agencies.
Can we take a step back and talk about what happens when you get one of these kits? What do you do and what happens?
Sure. So effectively, a box arrives, and in that box there's a set of things for doing a cheek swab as a sample. So by swabbing your cheek, you pick out some of your cells, and those cells are kept in a little tube and sent off to the testing company. Those companies don't actually these days sequence your entire genome. Most of them sequence or genotype, as we call it, little bits of DNA across your genome. Some do more or less, and try and gain some sort of information from those bits of DNA. So in a normal context, if we're doing this, for example, in a clinical sense. You might look at a whole genome and say, okay, well, you know, are there different variations in this genome which are, have been in the past associated with some sort of condition, some sort of disease? Or in the case of ancestry, can we find bits of the genome which are sort of diagnostic for people who live in particular places? So that's the information that's being gathered. And that information is immensely valuable, not only for the small amount of information that comes back to you as the consumer, but also for other companies, for example, or health agencies who can use that information to help them develop drugs or help them target diagnostics to particular people.
How good is the information, however, that you do get when it comes to reliability?
So that's a really difficult problem. And I think particularly when you're looking at health issues, it's really important to know that genetics as a field is not a deterministic one. So what that means is that if you have a particular change in your DNA, a particular variation, which has been in other people associated with a particular disease, that doesn't mean you're going to get that disease or you have that disease. All genetics is probabilistic. So what these companies are doing is trying to calculate a kind of risk profile and being able to say, with this sort of genome sequence, we would expect your risk for this particular disease to be, you know, 20%, 4%. And it's not really clear how accurate those predictions are. It's actually incredibly difficult to link a particular disease, particularly the diseases that affect us the most, with DNA variants. And often things like diabetes are associated with perhaps thousands of variants across the genome, so thousands of changes in our DNA sequence, each one adding a tiny amount to that particular to risk score. It's also really important to recognize DNA doesn't drive our destiny, right? We also live in an environment, and it is the combination of the environment and our DNA sequences which make us who we are. So giving a bit of information saying, you know, you've got a 14% chance of type 2 diabetes in your lifetime doesn't really seem to me a particularly useful or perhaps accurate outcome.
Then there's the other, we've all heard the stories of someone who's found out that someone isn't a parent or someone else is a relative or something that they hadn't known as a result of using these tests. But again, talking about reliability, given the genotyping that you're talking about here, that the light sequencing that goes on, are they necessarily accurate on some of the assumptions they make about whether you've got ancestry from this country or that?
Yeah, so I think that there's a couple of issues here. Firstly, there is an accuracy issue, and it's quite, there are lots of anecdotal stories out there of people sending in samples where they knew what the ancestry relationships were and finding different things out, and somebody even sending DNA from their dog and finding out that they came from a particular country and were a human. These things indicate that actually there isn't a real push for accuracy in the companies. But worse than that, I think it speaks to this idea, you know, the DNA sequence tells, what they're saying is this DNA sequence has similarities to DNA sequences from people who come from a particular place. And that's not really a measure of ancestry. It's really sort of a kind of vague indication of where people who have similar DNA to you might be. You've got to remember that if you go back through your family tree, the number of ancestors you have increases exponentially each generation. So while we have stories about where we come from and what places we come from, what our ancestors were and what their names were, we're often picking a story of a lineage out of which there were thousands and thousands of people involved, and we don't really have an understanding of who those thousands and thousands of people were. Alongside that, we don't inherit our DNA equally from all our ancestors. So it's very possible that while you may have in your family a very strong tradition from coming from a particular place, there's no evidence for that left in your genome. What does that mean for a person? As far as I'm concerned, what it means for a person is that their biology says one thing, but their actual culture, their history, their allegiance, for example, all of that comes through a cultural transmission and not necessarily a DNA one. So where we see those things, where these things clash, I think that it's not a particularly helpful thing to say that the DNA provides the real answer to what your ancestry is.
What about DNA tests for specific health conditions, however, and one that we're very familiar with is for the BRCA gene for breast cancer? Is this a much more intensive kind of testing that goes on?
Absolutely. So as soon as you move into the realm of clinical testing, diagnostic companies have extremely strong requirements for providing accurate results. And I mean, the actual number of DNA tests for particular conditions is low because the burden of proof to demonstrate that you can really say some health outcome from a change in the DNA sequence is very high, right? So it's difficult to do that. It's difficult to find cases where we can point to a mutation in this particular gene will cause this effect. And that BRCA1 test is a good example of that. The results of those tests are accurate and give you a really good indication of what future health state might look like. But I really have to emphasize that all of this really, when you're talking about health data, really, you need to talk to a clinician and be aware of the differences between a sort of vague test from a direct to consumer group and something that is actually run in a clinical situation with advice, with help, and with all of the backup required to ensure that the right decisions are made on the basis of those tests.
So come back to where we are with those wanting to use one of these, ancestry tests kits. They're quite heavily marketed, aren't they? They're television marketed. And, okay, it's entertainment. And they're listening to you and they're saying, okay, this isn't going to prove that I have X percent, I don't know, Viking or whatever, or anything else, come from this particular Irish clan. That's the entertainment side of things. What you really want to flag is that, as is always the case, you're often the product. Now, the clinical testing stuff that the drug companies are taking, sorry, the data that the drug companies are taking for development is anonymized. It's arguably producing useful information. But what's the other stuff that you really want people to think about? Do we have evidence, for example, internationally, of insurance companies buying this data as a third party?
Yeah, I'm not sure that insurance company, it's because the data is supposed to be randomized. I'm not sure insurance companies looking at that data are going to learn very much. We do have evidence that insurance companies have been in other places, not as far as I'm aware in New Zealand, demanding to see the results of these tests as
Is
part of the
this in
health
the UK?
insurance
Is this the
profile.
UK example?
Yeah, so in the UK, it seems that people have been asked, have you done an ancestry.com test? Have you done a 23andMe test? And asked to provide that as part of an application for health insurance. And I think that's something that we need to that people need to be aware of, that actually there are insurance companies would be interested in that data. It will help them sharpen their models to ensure that they're making the right predictions about how much you're going to cost to their company. But I do think we need to ask the question in New Zealand, is that something we actually want to do?
It's interesting because it sits alongside a push, and this is regarded positively for the most part, towards personalisation of healthcare. Now, again, this doesn't necessarily mean that you would use Ancestry or 123andMe for this kind of data. But where are we heading systematically with respect to the gathering of personal data that might then personalise healthcare, Peter? How advanced are we or aren't we in much of our clinical practice?
So, I think that we're at a bit of a crossroads here in New Zealand. The cost of things like DNA sequencing and the clear benefit that it can produce in clinical situations means that I think there is some talk of saying, well, actually, do we need to be doing this routinely and use this to support treatment regimes, etc. The issue is, of course, that we then need to worry about all of that data. And really, genome sequence in this kind of context is just a form of health data, a sort of very large form of health data, but it's a big chunk of health data. And I think we as a country need to think about what we want to do around how that data is dealt with. New Zealand has all kinds of unique aspects about its culture and its history, and it's important that we have a very sensible and public discussion about what happens to DNA sequence data, how is it used, how is it governed, and how do we ensure that these sequences are used to benefit all of us, not used to not so so that we're dealing with health inequality, that we're providing benefit in ways that actually reach everyone in the country.
We already have the likes of the Guthrie Heel Prick test. There is also pre-birth testing that is increasingly happening for various genetic conditions where people have a particular concern. And there is a balance always, isn't there, between, as you said, not falling into a deterministic pattern with some of this, but equally using information that is valuable and beneficial. And are we just feeling our way with that, especially now this DNA technology is advancing so quickly, and as you say, the cost of doing it is coming down?
Yeah, I think that's a really important point. And it may sound kind of trivial, but the cost of DNA sequencing has dropped so much that it's not unreasonable to be thinking that in sort of 10 years in the future that a Guthrie card from a newborn heel prick will also involve a DNA sequence. And I think we are in a good position, this is a good time for us as New Zealanders to think about what that means and how we use that data. It's absolutely clear that that data can be of incredible use and will benefit people, but we just need to ensure that it benefits New Zealanders and the people providing the samples, not just international drug companies who are making diagnostic kits and drugs.
Just back again to the entertainment kits, if we can call them that. Is there another problem with them in that the data skewed towards certain ethnicities and to be, you know, particularly towards white and European ethnicities?
So that's not just a problem with these kits. Obviously, if you're looking at ancestry, the ancestry of all the people who have, what you're measured against is all the other people who have used that kit. Therefore, you know, if those kits are heavily marketed in Europe and in North America, then that's where most of the samples are going to come from. But I think the bigger problem is actually the lack of a representation of DNA sequences from places outside Europe and outside North America, because it's really important to know that, you know, for things like those risk scores we were talking about, you know, if you want to develop a risk score from a genome about a particular disease, then you need to know about what variation is present in all kinds of places around the world, because that variation is very likely to be different. And our genomes and our environments and the interaction between them is so complex that what may be very deleterious in one, you know, maybe bad in one population is actually not bad in another population. So it's a really important thing that that genomic science in general needs to be aware of, is that actually that representation of genome sequences is very important. And that, of course, raises all kinds of issues around who governs that data, how is that data looked after, how do we ensure that the data which is collected from Indigenous people, for example, how is that controlled by those Indigenous people so that they ensure benefit to them from it?
And just finally, and I know this is a real area of expertise for you, is the use of this technology, for example, in conservation, so moving away from the human species to others. What and how is it being used in the conservation field, Peter?
Yeah, so this is one of the really neat aspects of this kind of research is, of course, we have millions of scientists around the world trying to interpret human DNA sequence to understand the implications for disease. We can piggyback on much of that information and say, okay, what can we use the same tools and technologies, or can we develop tools and technologies which allow us to do similar things in conservation species? And so there's work around sequencing the genomes of every single kakapo in the country as a way to see if we can build an understanding of the information that might be required to support the Department of Conservation's management efforts. But even more importantly, to develop specific tools that allow us to take that data, to take data from other species and to use that to maintain those species. So we can look at disease risks. We can look at relationships between individuals to minimize inbreeding. We can look at actually predicting the growth rate of new chicks so that the Department of Conservation can say, well, okay, if this deviates from that growth rate, then we need to intervene. So all of this is possible with genome data, but it also relies on an understanding of the environment and the animals and the management techniques. So it adds an extra piece of information and an important piece of information, which just is going to help us look after these species better.
Ngā mihi, Peter. Thank you very much. Peter Dearden is a professor. He's at the Department of Biochemistry at the University of Otago and is the Director of Genomics Aotearoa.